Chapter 25. The Dark Mother. Anastasia felt whatever blood remaining in her ravaged body flow to her chest and to her legs. With her arms pinned high by a thick metal chain, she felt helpless as she watched Celine and Lucius standing back and admiring their victory. Lucius dragged Maris, who kicked and struggled against him, and he chained her next to Anastasia. He gently placed his hand underneath Maris's chin and raised her head slightly. "You should be thrilled. You are the only demon who can give us our salvation." Maris jerked her head away. Anastasia no longer underestimated the power both Lucius and Celine gained from the Pure Ones. For demon, they were stronger than anything she had faced in her lifetime. Bestowing power such as that into them just proved how far the Pure Ones would go to want out of Limbo. Anastasia couldn't fathom what else they would do once they had their freedom. She had to free herself, and she struggled against the chains, capturing Celine's attention. "You might as well stop. Those chains are strong and thick enough to hold you." Lucius leaned toward Maris, his eyes altered, turning red, and as he continued his drawn-out gaze, entering her thoughts. "This might hurt at first." He seized her by the neck. "Salvation," Maris snarled. "Is that what you call it? Oh, please, spare me the lecture." Lucius squeezed harder and Maris grunted at his strength. "Yes, it is our salvation." Maris scoffed. "I never wanted any part in this. I never wanted to be a demon." Lucius placed his hand on her chest. "Once you have this knowledge, you will do the spell."
"And what if I don't want to?"
"You won't have a choice." Maris released a horrified yell and her head tilted back. Lucius' compulsion became too much to bear. In seconds she stopped and her body went limp. "When she awakes, she will be ready." Lucius took a step back from her and he turned to Anastasia. "Now what to do with you?" The left corner of Saline's mouth curled upward. "I thought it'd be best that she would be the Dark Mother's first meal." "A present for Ameneerdis?" Lucius questioned. Anastasia couldn't believe what she heard. "You're both crazy." Celine rushed over to her and slapped her across her face. "Don't mock us." Anastasia felt her mouth beginning to fill with blood from Celine's hard slap. "I'm just stating the obvious." "Of all people, I thought you would understand," Lucius said. "I wanted you to be by Ameneerdis' side and guide all the Pure Ones into this new world." "So she and the others can destroy it," she argued back. "That's what they're going to do, Lucius. They're going to kill us all at once, as soon as they're able." "No." He shook his head. "Your purpose was to be her obedient servant, to help them all understand this world. It is an important task that Celine and I can't do." She eyed them carefully. "Why not?" "You're doing a wonderful job now." "This spell needs sacrifices." He turned back to Maris. "She's starting to awake." Sacrifices? Would Lucius and Celine take their own lives to free them? Anastasia attempted to search their thoughts, but she found herself blocked. After all the centuries she'd known Lucius, she expected him to not die in this way. Maris moaned and opened her eyes. Lucius looked her over and he smiled. "You know the words. Start the spell."
"I'm not saying anything," she yelled. "We will make you."
Maris fought against his influence. Her mouth opened slowly, and with her eyes widened, she looked to Anastasia for help. She began to chant. "Gods of the old, gods of the new, dark gods of our flesh, we honor you with the blood of our brethren." Anastasia restarted her struggle to free herself.
"Gods of the old, gods of the new, dark goddess of our flesh, we honor you with the blood of your children."
Lucius pulled out a long, sharp wooden stake. "I strike true and I offer you her blood, the blood of the descendant in exchange for their freedom." Jumbled, Anastasia whispered to Maris, "Can you stop this?" Gasping for air, Maris replied, "No, I'm trying but I can't. He's somehow forcing me to chant. He's too strong. Keep fighting him."
"I can't,"
Anastasia growled.
Yes, you can.
Lucius grabbed Maris's wrist, and he made a long cut extending from her forearm to her wrist. Gods of the old, gods of the new, dark gods of our flesh.
Maris struggled as Lucius telepathically forced the chant from her lips. I honor you with my blood.
Lucius began to rub the stake in her blood. He walked over to Celine. Are you ready? He placed his hand on her cheek.
Celine smiled and nodded slowly.
I think.
He drew Celine close and kissed her on the top of her head.
I've always loved you, Celine, like a daughter.
Anastasia studied their behavior. The idea of Lucius killing Celine to free the Pure Ones bewildered her. She looked at Maris, who also stared at the spectacle, amazed.
Maris, keep trying.
He's going to kill her, Maris whispered back. There isn't anything I can do.
The ritual took a dark turn. Celine held her arms out to the side.
I strike true and I offer you her blood, the blood of my dark daughter, in exchange for their freedom.
Lucius spoke the chant. He paused and stared at Celine.
Close your eyes.
Following his instruction, Celine closed her eyes, and Lucius struck the stake into her heart.
Celine's body lurched forward, and now her eyes opened slowly. They glanced at the stake in her chest, then at her skin that started to deteriorate into ash.
The skin on her face began to shrivel, falling off in long pieces.
Her smile withered away, and what remained of her tumbled to the floor, leaving behind a pile of ash and blood.
For a few moments, Lucius stood quietly, staring at what remained of his offspring. He then walked back over to Maris.
Gods of the old, gods of the new, dark goddess of our flesh, we honor you with the blood of your children.
Gods of the old, gods of the new, dark gods of our flesh.
Again, Maris struggled as the words escaped her lips.
I honor you with my blood.
Again, Lucius rubbed the tip of the stake in her blood, and he looked at her.
It's almost over. They will be freed.
He stepped back. I strike true, and I offer you her blood, the blood of the descendant, in exchange for their freedom.
He placed the stake against his chest, closed his eyes, and pushed the tip through his body and into his heart.
Almost immediately, he dropped to his knees.
A shriek expelled from his mouth, and his head leaned back with his eyes facing the ceiling. His body then jerked forward, and blood spurted from his mouth.
The sight was uncanny, but only when Anastasia saw Kyra standing behind Lucius and another stake sticking out of Lucius's chest from the opposite side did she know that Kyra had struck first. Anastasia didn't care how she managed to get behind him, or if the stake had actually hurt him.
She appeared too late. Lucius had finished the ritual. Aiden also appeared, and he rushed over to them.
We had to wait until Lucius was vulnerable. He began to free Maris.
You left me!
Maris barked back at him.
Why did you leave me?
I didn't leave you. I told you I would never leave you.
Kyra stepped slowly away from Lucius. We're too late.
She broke Anastasia's chains.
Now freed, Anastasia wanted to rush to Lucius's side, but Kyra stopped her.
It's too late for him. We must go before they arrive.
At that moment, Anastasia felt a large jolt ravage her body. She arched forward.
Aiden, Maris, and Kyra also felt it, and they leaned forward in pain.
Maris dropped to her knees and she gripped her chest.
Kyra curled up in a fetal position in pain, and Aiden fell onto his side.
What the hell was that? He asked in a belated breath.
They're here!
Kyra said in agony.
The pain stopped. The air went silent.
Anastasia glanced up in time to see Kyra and Maris stand to their feet. The room began to light up in a fluorescent glow. It formed into a large circular ball, and it moved in breakneck speed, circling through the air. It then hovered and turned from white to a reddish color. An explosion of light followed by an immense yellow light blinded them all. Then again, silence.
Anastasia opened her eyes.
finding that Saline's sacrificed remains had disappeared. She raised her body slowly from the ground, just in time to see a naked woman, in flesh, standing in the center of the room, next to Lucius. Her waist-length dark hair rested over her shoulders, covering her breasts. Her brown skin glowed. Her young and exotic features astounded even Kira, who cautiously examined every inch of the woman's body with her eyes. Power and age seeped from her. Aminurdis. Lucius's thought echoed through their minds. The woman examined her hands as if she'd never seen them before, and her red glowing eyes moved to Lucius. She knelt down and gently caressed the side of his face. Anastasia cautiously looked around the room, waiting for the remaining 7 pure ones to appear, but nothing happened. No one else came, just Aminurdis. Immediately, Maris, with her eyes the color of charcoal and her sharp teeth exposed, took a defensive stand. Aminurdis caressed Lucius in his final moments. She began to speak to him in a language that none of them understood. Anastasia couldn't find any strength inside her to battle even the youngest demon, let alone a pure one, fresh out of limbo. Aminurdis stood up to her feet, cradling Lucius, who remained barely alive, in her arms. Anastasia whispered to Kira. "What is she saying?" "She's comforting him," she slowly replied. Lucius lifted his hand up to her face and he whispered, "Mother, I failed you. I'm sorry." Aminurdis shrugged, and finally she replied in a language they all understood. "But you haven't failed. I'm free." "But the others..." Lucius held out his hand to her. "Sleep now." Aminurdis kissed him on his cheek. He opened his mouth again, but she hushed him. "Your work is done here." She pushed the stake further into his chest and his body arched forward. He closed his eyes, and his body began its disintegration. His remains draped over Aminurdis's forearms. Blood and ash peppered her face. She wiped the bloodied contents away, and her eyes scrutinized Kira, Maris, Aiden, and Anastasia. "She wants us to bow down to her," Kira said slowly. "Like hell I will," Maris replied. "It's all of us against her. We can take her." Kira shook her head.
"No, we can't."
Aminurdis examined her body again. "I thought the ritual was supposed to free all of them," Aiden said in a hushed tone to Kira. Picking up on his question, Aminurdis replied, "If the ritual was completed, my child." She looked at her breasts and she held her arms out in front of her face. She stepped forward, then collapsed onto the floor. They all stepped back, watching her struggle to raise herself up again.
"What's wrong with her?" Aiden asked.
"She's weak," Kira replied. "So, let's kill her now," Maris suggested. "No." She silenced her. "If we kill her, we kill everyone in her lineage."
"She isn't Ramanga. She isn't any of the 4 first clans," Aiden argued back with her. "She's of the other 4, an Ikimu. So what does it matter?"
"It matters, Aiden," Kira whispered her reply. "There are Ikimu demons still alive. We kill her. We kill them." Aminurdis raised herself to her feet. "You are me and I am you." She reached out her hand to Maris. "Together, we are all one." Kira grabbed Maris.
"We have to leave, now."
Still holding on to her, Kira began to pull Maris toward the exit.
"You can't hide my servant from me."
Aminurdis dropped her hand. Maris broke away from Kira.
"I'm not your servant."
Aminurdis smiled. "You are the descendant, therefore, you are my servant." Aiden gently shoved Maris toward the exit. Curiosity overcame her fear, and instead of leaving, Anastasia remained where she stood, observing Aminurdis, who didn't take her eyes of Maris until she left the building. Now alone with her, Anastasia spoke. "You belong in limbo, not here."
"We all belong in limbo, Ramanga."
Aminurdis finally refocused her gaze on Anastasia. "You know the truth. You understand. I showed it to you the day you came into the cave to free Lucius. Remember what? The revelation." she veered her foot along the ground. The day that will signal the rebirth of our kind. Anastasia turned her head slightly to the right.
Rebirth?
Yes, the day when Demon will die by the thousands. Anastasia stepped back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, Ramunga. You just refuse to see the truth. It will come, and in that day, Demon will suffer tremendously. They will scratch out their own eyes in pain. Their knees will become calloused and bloody from constant prayer.
Ah.
And this is the golden age that Lucius was referring to? Anastasia smacked her lips.
Yeah, I think I'll pass.
It will come. Amenirdis closed her eyes, and her tongue slithered over her lips. And when it does, the descendant will be martyred, and those demon who remain will rejoice in her much-needed sacrifice.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.